Thank you. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of the day. Gather us in, the lost and forsaken. Gather us in, the blind and the lame. Call to us now, and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young. Our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some haven light years away, but here in this place, the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom. Now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bone. Good morning, and welcome here to this time we've set aside to be together this morning. Those of you here and those who are listening to our service this morning. So Carl is at the piano this morning, Carla Phoenix. Lois Bukar is our pastor, and you'll be hearing from her a bit later. And my name is Joy Jarrett, and I'm the worship leader this morning. So it's spring at our house, and we've had a chance to get our hands dirty and get a few things ready for planting. We have a garden in our front yard, the part of our yard that has the most sunshine. We have shrubs and raspberries, perennial and annual flowers, as well as zucchini, carrots, beans, and peas. And whatever else will fit into that space. So the soil needs to be replenished with compost and whatever else we think would give the seeds the best chance of growing and producing vegetables and flowers. The old plant debris needs to be cleaned out. Dead raspberry canes need to be removed, and it's always interesting to see what plants are hardy enough to withstand the winter and which ones didn't make it. Each planting year is an act of hope. Planting the tiniest of seeds with the anticipation of the potential that they hold. And each seed does hold potential. In our little garden, or in the many acres of fields that are being seeded right now all around us. Perhaps it's been many years since you planted a garden or a field, but I know you know what I'm talking about. And I do hope that you have an opportunity to plant something and to be witness to the miracle that unfolds. We are all on a journey. We are people with questions, some answers, and we are people who have the capacity to hold on to hope. We each in our unique way contribute to the life of this congregation and to the communities that each of us influence in our daily lives. My hope is that something that you hear this morning will contribute to your life and living as you go forward and away from this place. May God reveal something that will move you out of a stuck place and forward on your personal journey this week. And may you recognize the loving presence of God in your life and the place where new growth can take place. Again, welcome here. I'm going to invite you to stand, turn to number 288 in the Blue Book, and rejoice the Lord is King, and let's sing together. Please stand. Please turn to your bulletins for our call to worship this morning. And this is taken from Psalm 33, and we'll read it as it is printed. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. In towering cathedrals, in quiet forest groves, God is there. At solemn communion tables and noisy family dinners, God is there. In crowded congregations and where the pews feel empty, God is there. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. In this place where we are gathered, in its simplicity and its sanctity, in its silence and its bustle, among us and within us, God is here. Jesus says, Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Let's pray together. Loving, nurturing God, you care for us in so many ways we don't even know about. You have been with each of us each step of the way on our individual journeys this past week. Some of these things we recognized and some not. We come in silence together in this place of gathering. We are your people. You are the shepherd of this flock and many flocks. Together assembled as we are in this time and place, we've come to sing and to pray as one body, as one voice. We are grateful for this time of worship. We pray that your Spirit will lead us in worship as you have led your people throughout all time. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together in song again and turn to the Blue Book again to number 116, to this very familiar praise him, crown him with many crowns. Please stand. So Mother's Day is an interesting one. Do we bring attention to it or not? It's always a question on a Sunday, on a morning like this, because it always falls on a Sunday. And we would probably be remiss to not say something. Believe it or not, but some people dread this day because it is a day that, for whatever reason, makes them feel deeply sad. Perhaps you had a less than stellar mother, or a mother who recently died, or wanted to be a mother but couldn't have children, or who had children that ended up breaking your heart. You maybe, on the other hand, love the day and have or had a great mom and happy, highly successful children. It's a Hallmark kind card kind of a day for some, not for everyone. And know that others around you and around the world might be experiencing the day quite differently than you. It's listed in the bulletin as a Mother's Day prayer. It's a bit of a litany that I'm going to read right now. Mothers come in different forms, and today we celebrate them all. Nurturing God, we draw on the image of you as one who nurtures, who gathers, who protects. We pray for those women who have nurtured us as mothers in whatever way they were able to, and who no longer are with us. We reflect upon those women who have influenced our own lives in so many ways, and we give thanks. We pray for the women around the world who are working long days and nights to raise their children. We pray for mothers around the world. We pray for mothers who have fled violence and difficult situations, including refugees who have been separated from their children or experienced the tragedy of the death of a child. We pray for mothers living in uncertainty and facing the unknown. We pray for all mothers who are expecting but aren't quite mothers yet. Thank God for the soon-to-be mothers. We pray for families where a mother's illness has led to an early death. We pray for those who step in to help with the care and nurture of children. We especially pray for children who take on the role of mother when they themselves are still only children. We pray for women who take in other people's children through foster care and adoption. We give thanks for these mothers with hearts so big. We pray for those women who have lost a child to death and must carry on, and we pray for strength and courage for the mothers who have faced grief and loss. We pray for women whose children have grown and whom they now seldom see. We pray for mothers who are at a distance from their children. We pray for all the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but chose instead to mother everyone else. We thank God for the mothers in spirit. We pray for women leaders in Aboriginal communities who seek to provide a protective environment for children and whose commitment is to work for a healthy place for children to live and grow. We pray for those troubled by the prospect of motherhood, perhaps too soon or too few resources to care for a child. Loving, nurturing God, we offer these prayers to you this day. Lord, in your mercy, mother us all with your love. Amen.
My greetings to all of you here today, as well as to all of you out in, I was going to say TV land, but on the screens and wherever you are. We do miss having you here. And for those who never entered the building before, we also welcome you. And we would welcome you anytime when it's time to have more bodies in the building to attend and get to know us in person. That's our hope. That's our desire. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day and this place and the promise that you have given that when we are gathered, you are here in our midst. As we are, we don't have to prove ourselves or act in a certain way which will make you look kindly on us. We are yours, and you love us. So that gives us the security to come to you, to lean on your breast, to gaze into your face, and to worship. We worship you with our lives, with our very being. And we thank you for your loving care, shown in so many ways. Through the mothers that gave us life, we give you thanks. Through all of the people in our lives that have mothered us and supported us and sustained us and nurtured us and continue to do so, we give you thanks. Thank you for this country that sustains us. Help us to also sustain it and the community around us, that we wouldn't selfishly be those who only take and receive, but that out of the abundance of generosity that you have shown to us, we would also show that to others in so many different ways, beginning with attention, simply noticing those around us, a kind look, a smile, a gesture, simplicity of love that comes from a deep well, which is your love, continuously flowing, pouring out of us. May that be the sign of who we are, your love pouring out. And we anticipate, we expect that this has been shown already in the offering that has been given. We ask for your blessing on that offering, whether it was deposited this morning or throughout this week or in the weeks to come. Give us wisdom in using it well, using all of the resources at our disposal, not for our own selfish gain or comfort, but that we would extend that comfort and assurance to those around us in our community, in our families, and as you direct, always looking to you, wanting to hear from you through your Holy Spirit. How should we act? How should we move? We confess that we don't always ask, and even in asking, we don't always listen. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for your patience with us. Continue to nurture us along and help us to mature, constantly growing and learning in our walk together with you, which would then be demonstrated in everything that we do in the choices that we make. Thank you for all of the prayers that you have heard on a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, in the middle of the night, wherever we are, at whatever time of day or night the prayer is being lifted up to you. Your door is always open. The line is never busy. You hear, you attend, and we thank you for that. So it gives us courage to pray for these other things that just seem endless. How many times haven't we seen Camp Elam right here in the Pray For? And still we're praying. What's going on there? What is your will? Where are the people that you are trying to bring together for this venture, this mission, this outreach? We have so many needs there. We need a chair. We need an executive director. We need a director, a lifeguard, and probably even more. We pray that you would awaken the hearts of people that you would call to these positions. And as we've been praying for weeks and months, and it seems years already, we pray for all of those struggling with COVID, which is all of us, every single one of us in the community of humanity. Help us to continue to remember we are in this together and to be doing everything we can to struggle against death and disease, which began from the very beginning. We continue to struggle. Just as we pull the weeds from the garden, help us also to continue to struggle for the health and well-being of everyone in our communities. Give strength and endurance to the healthcare professionals and the scientists and the politicians who try to convince those who are more hard-hearted. Show us how best to care, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. And as you care for your church, we pray for Zion Mennonite Church. That should be at the top of this box. We pray for this church. We pray for us, because we are this church. Give us the strength and insight to know how to be church in this community where you have planted us. We invite you to break off those branches, dig in the dirt, awaken the roots here so that this plant could produce what you desire to see it produce. We pray for the same thing for Full Gospel Church and Laird Mennonite Church and their leaders. All of these and so many more we offer to you as a sacred offering in this time of offering. And we offer the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'm announcing the next hymn because it is going to be projected on the overhead. It's a camp song, familiar camp song, that actually made it into the new hymnal. There's a lot of songs that have been combined from the hymnals we use, and also other songs that we know. So this one is in here. It's in the Ascension section. Thursday is Ascension, so maybe we can think of that as we move in towards this week. The song is called Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and it will be projected on the screen. Let's stand, please.
Our scripture this morning is from Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it that this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood before them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. TBT. Not TBA, TBT. I invite anyone under the age of 40, and not Aaron. What's TBT? Throwback Thursday. TBT, Throwback Thursday. And for those of you who didn't know what it was and still have a computer, I expect you to be Googling these things. That's what Mr. Google is for, isn't that right, Carla? That's her best friend. Throwback Thursday. Why do I use that? It's a Sunday. Today is Sunday. But Thursday is coming. I'm not talking about the backwards Thursday that we just passed. It's the up-and-coming Thursday, which is Ascension Day. Hence, some of those hymns, those songs that we were singing today were directly about Ascension, or were to remind us. And I wanted to mention something about one of those hymns. Praise Him, I believe it was. As we were singing, I was thinking, who would have chosen this hymn with four sharps? How awful to have to play that kind of a hymn. It was none other than the pianist herself. So don't look at me and blame me for not thinking about the pianist, but wow, what courage, what bravery. I remember the bad old days when the song leader just chose it on Saturday night and phoned the UNRWA household and said, these are the songs you are playing tomorrow morning. And I, with trembling fingers, would come to church on Sunday morning. Carla, however, is made of a different fabric altogether. She has courage. And she practices. So thank you for that, Carla, and for those choices. Throwback Thursday, sometimes what Throwback Thursday often is that people will look through their old pictures and post ancient pictures. So I expect to, you know, see pictures of myself when I was maybe 4 or 5 that my siblings have that they look good in and I look silly in, and then they post it on Facebook and they're like, look at this. And it's for nostalgia. Oh, remember those days. Remember how happy we were, or miserable. I never liked having my picture taken. So there were many times when I was crying in the photos, only because of the picture part. But if we who are gathered here today anticipating Thursday, Ascension Day, only look at it with nostalgia, we are losing out entirely. Ascension Day and the remembrance of it is far more than just a nostalgic remembrance of something that happened long ago that we can't even remember being a part of. Sometimes we look at these things, we hear these scriptures, and we say, oh, that's nice, and then we put it aside. There were some Jehovah's Witnesses coming to a door, knock on the door. They got as far as the door. The door was opened, and they said, hello, we would like to share the good news. And the person inside says, okay, but mine first. Just, okay, I have good news to tell you. You have good news to tell me. Let's just share. The sharing of Ascension Day does not fall into that category. Imagine this as the headline on CNN, that scrolling thing, you know, in red letters that you always pay attention to. Jesus ascends to heaven, promises to come back. Imagine that on the headlines. Doesn't happen, but does it happen inside of us? Or have we sort of forgotten about it? Because we nostalgically can look back, most of us, and remember a day, a time, a year when we had celebrations of Ascension Day, when it was a holiday. Someone here asked me if I was going to have that day as a holiday, because it is a holy holiday, wouldn't you say? So if you don't see me, I will not have ascended to the Father on Thursday. We'll see what happens. To quote Trump. But often, thank you, Matt, often, if it doesn't happen on a Sunday, it's like it doesn't happen. You know, if we have a special day for Christmas, a special day for Easter, and even Good Friday is like, you know, it can be missed. If it doesn't happen on Sunday, does it get the attention it needs? If we don't see it, does it really happen? I have heard many in relationships say, well, if my partner doesn't see me do it, it doesn't count. If I take out the garbage, but not in the sight of my partner or the family members, it's like I never even took it out. Oh, the garbage is gone. Hooray. Or if I am not seen to be washing the dishes or emptying the dishwasher, I don't get the credit for this to have happened. I wait for someone to witness what I have done. See, I am taking out the garbage. I am cleaning up my mess. If we didn't witness it, did it happen? 2 points. Maybe we witnessed, maybe we didn't. Number one, he has been taken up into heaven. He being Jesus, he has been taken up. Second, he will come back the same way as you have seen him go. Two things, very obvious and yet often missed or overlooked or not really felt the impact of it. Okay, let's look at that. He has been taken up into heaven. for those English teachers among us, and maybe if you're not an English teacher, you lover of English, I know I am that one. He has been taken. He has been taken. Jesus didn't just put on his Air Jordans and suddenly go up to heaven. It wasn't Jesus himself who decided, at this point, I am going to do this. He's talking to his disciples, and he was taken up into heaven. Think about that. Think about that in the Trinity, in the Godhead. We often don't think about the Godhead in this way, that the different parts of the Godhead have their own work to do, and they rely on the other part also, always communicating with the other. Well, look in the other verses before Jesus was taken up. The writer of Acts, in verse 2, he even says, until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. It wasn't just Jesus in his own mind saying, I'm going to give some instructions. The writer here recognizes it was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples. Here, Jesus was taken up into heaven. The power of the Godhead. And just before this, Jesus said, we're not talking about the times and the epochs which the Father has determined. The different parts of the Godhead have their different roles. We too, who live in community, are supposed to be a reflection of that Godhead, that we work together and we recognize the roles and the authority and the power of the other parts. And we all work together in unity. We read that call to worship. How beautiful it is when this all works together in unity. When brothers and sisters work together in unity. None of this, who made that decision? Who decided to do that? Why did they do that? I've heard, how about, why did the office do that? I don't know what power the office has. Or these different kinds of references, not recognizing that different parts of this very body are meant to be working together just as we see and we hear the witness of Jesus. Not complaining, well, hey, it's under the Father's authority, and I don't know what he's waiting for anyway. You know, kind of resenting the power or authority of someone else. No, he says, the Father has the authority for that. The Father will decide. The Holy Spirit gives me the words to speak, I'm saying Jesus, to give instructions to the disciples. And they work together, flowing in unity. As they are looking, I love this part, as they are looking up, gazing into heaven, and Jesus is taken up into heaven. This sounds like science fiction. This sounds like, you know, if you saw this on TV, you would be telling your kids or grandkids, oh, you don't believe all of that. This is just TV. This is real. This was real. These were real disciples standing on real ground with Jesus, who had been with them for 40 real days, showing himself really, and then he was really taken up into heaven. Every time the clouds come over, I've been thinking about that this week. I get a whole week ahead of you guys. Sorry about that. A whole week to be drenched in this, thinking about it, imagining it. And I want you to have your imaginations enlightened. Open those minds and see that vision. And as the disciples are standing there and they were gazing intently, they couldn't believe this. There he went. Before this, he had always sort of, He was there 1 minute and then he was gone. He just disappeared from their sight. This was a progressive movement. There he went, and they're looking, and suddenly two men in white are standing with them. So much. Oh, I'm going to suggest these are angels. Okay, I don't know that for a fact. They didn't have wings. They had no halo that is spoken about, but they had the white clothes. I don't know why they're always men. So many questions. But this is reality, okay? This was real for these disciples. And suddenly there were the two men standing on earth with them while they had been looking up. You know what it reminds me of? Do you know the funnel trick? The funnel trick. You play it on a kid, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, whatever. And you put a coin on the forehead, and then you have a funnel, and you just lodge the funnel in the waistband of your pants. And what you do is you try and flip your head forward super quick and get that coin off of your forehead into the funnel. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Minute to win it. Suggestion right here. Let's do the funnel trick. Because usually if you do that, if you do it too violently, it'll go, you know, flying. You want to get it right into the funnel. And while you have your head up there and you're balancing that coin up there, you know what's happening down here? Some of you do. You pour some water in the funnel. And, oh, the compassionate mothers here on Mother's Day are going, oh, shame on you. That's no good. That's mean. It's funny. Well, it's never been done to me. That's why it's still funny. But look at this. You're gazing up. You're looking up. You're intent on something else. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, meanwhile, something else is happening down here. Think about this in terms of ascension. Think about this in terms of spirituality. How many times, you know, in our quiet time, in our prayer time, we're gazing and we're looking and we're longing to see the face of God. And I'm saying this as one of those, so I'm not just pointing fingers at others. But then, what's happening down here, right in front of us, right on earth? And there might be someone right at our door who needs our physical, real attention. Okay, not now. I'm really deep in prayer. Don't bug me. Sometimes that's a fact, right? This is a good example of both and. Being aware, yes, Jesus has ascended to heaven. Don't stand there too long. The men in white, not the glad man, but the men in white are here witnessing. And where did they come from? Who are they? All of these beings, a whole dimension, a whole reality that we can't see exists. A lot is going on right now that we can't see. We are not witness to. All we see is what we see. But there's way more going on that we don't see. Think about that for a while. Even though we don't see it, it still happened. Think about taking out the garbage. Even though you didn't see him take it out, he still took it out. All of this reality that's occurring right now, even though we don't see it. Ponder that sometime. Realize that. Take it on as your own reality. And allow it to have the impact on your life. Sometimes we just feel like, I'm in this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do what I need to do. I'm struggling. I'm suffering. I'm just all alone. Remember, there is another dimension that is going on. It's as real as this one. He has been taken up. Second, he will come in the same way as you saw him go. He will come again the same way. Think about these as bookends. He has gone up and he will come again. Bookends, they hold this story together. They hold our lives together. Think about the fullness of your life. Now, you don't see the whole end of it, of course, but think about your whole life encompassed in those two realities. Holding all of your experiences and your life events together. I have a bookshelf in my office, and it's got limits, which our lives do. But you know what I do? I'm sure some of you do this too. You just keep shoving more things in the center of that bookshelf. Oh, I don't put things on the end because it's too close to the edge. But I do keep shoving things in the center. And what happens when we keep shoving things in the center as life events or things that take our attention? Okay. Oh, this is so interesting. This is really cool. Things that absorb us, they're like new books or texts. And we put them inside on the bookshelf, keep inserting them until what happens? The bookends fall off, don't they? They have to. That's physics. I don't know anything about physics, but I know that's what's going to happen one day. Those are just going to fall off. It's not to say that if I keep putting enough things in, Jesus will not come again, or Jesus did not come. However, those two bookend events, which are real, will fall off of your radar. And the only thing we notice and attend to will be the daily events, the things that grasp our attention at the moment. And the things that are supposed to hold it all together will have fallen away. Like a throwback Thursday. Wasn't that nostalgic? Wasn't that nice? Jesus is going to come again. If you read Psalm 98, you'll be surprised. At the beginning, it says, oh, clap your hands, oh, hills and mountains and oceans and all sorts of things. Sing a new song. Shout joyfully to the Lord. It's a wonderful, joyful psalm. And then at the end of it, it says, do all of these things for he is coming. Do all of these things for he is coming. If your bookend has fallen off the shelf, that won't make any sense to you. Our joy, our expectation comes because we know that he is coming again. We know that he was here physically joining us in our struggles, and he's coming again. It's promised. That's what holds our lives and our events together. Shout joyfully because he's coming again. He's coming to judge the earth in righteousness. Hallelujah! I am sick and tired of injustice and unrighteousness. I'm fed up to here. Anybody who looks at the news recognizes this. It's just enough already. But Jesus is coming again, and he's going to judge the earth in righteousness and truth. And this is all based in his love and his care for us. Revelations 22, verses 12 and 13. In his own words, he reminds John, who saw this vision. He says, behold, I'm coming again. I am coming, and my reward is with me. Those same verses say in a very bizarre way. Or is it the 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, for those of you writing down. It says, yes, he's coming again. And those wicked keep on doing wicked things. And those liars keep on lying. But those of you who are righteous keep on doing righteous things. I think it's tongue in cheek. And I can appreciate that. He is coming. His reward is with him. Keep on keeping on doing the things we are meant to do. And as long as we have those bookends in place, we will recognize, aha, this is the kind of person I ought to be then. If I know that Jesus is coming, this is probably what I should say. Well, that's not that important. Why am I getting bent out of shape over that? In light of this, what kind of person should I be? One very short story, a Mother's Day story. I was playing outside. It was in the winter. I was some elementary school age, playing on the driveway in the snow. It was a wonderful time. And I looked down the street, First Street, and there was a body walking down the street towards our house. It was my mom walking home from work. Two reactions. Oh, mom, here you come. You run towards your mother. Yay, mom's home. Or run away, which is what I did. I hightailed it out of there, ran into the house. And what did mom say as soon as she got in the house? Lois, why did you run away? Every mother here knows. And my mom knew, except she didn't know exactly. Do you want to know why I ran away? You know those little candy necklaces we used to have? You wear around and you could just, with elastic, and you pull that out, and you could bite a little candy off. I love those. I had one on. And if I ran up to my mom, that's the first thing she would see right on my neck. I wasn't supposed to have that. I don't even know where I got it. I think I may have pilfered it. Guilt, something to hide. Run away. God's love embraces us, reminds us, look, Jesus has gone and is coming again. And in his love, we can rejoice in that anticipation, and it gives us vision for our lives. Let's keep being aware of our bookends. The end is not old age. The end is Jesus coming again. This is what holds all things together. Amen.
Thank you, Lois, for your words and for sharing of your insights and giving us food for thought for this week ahead. Thank you. I'd invite you to turn in your blue hymnals and stand as we sing together this very familiar song, which you probably can sing without the book. Try to do that, maybe. Please stand. 599, He Leadeth Me.
Thank you.
please bow for the benediction. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.